This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Free left turn, a left wing perspective on 89.0 independent community media. Good morning, Fred.
Morning, top of the morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yep, top of the morning. And that's a good morning too, isn't it?
Nice sunny day.
Yeah, and we had a relatively great run of weather.
I had to move real fast this morning to get dressed. It was damn cold.
It's getting nippy. Yeah, but beautiful.
But if you stay like that, I can live with it.
Yeah, of course. Yes. When we get those ones where it's sort of cold when you go to bed, and cold when you wake up, and cold at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and it's got
cloudy
fog,
and dismal.
Yeah. Fog around.
So, no.
But it's clear. Then there's not a cloud in the sky, which makes it good. It was also good frost weather too.
Yeah, we're in that, what did I say, La Nina, or one of them. Up here, the North Island's going to get a reasonably dry winter, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Which has problems of its own, doesn't it?
Oh, of course.
See, the water table goes down, you can't generate power.
If it's cold,
The demand goes up.
And if you don't get real bad weather, you don't get any snow melt, etc., for the lakes, etc., you know.
Well, that's scary.
You have to be careful what you wish for, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. And it'll affect tourism around the skiing industry, we hear.
There's ripples, either good and bad.
Of course. Good and particularly good or bad. Yeah. There's quite a number of things that have happened this week.
Okay.
Or viewed.
Go for it.
Homelessness in Hamilton.
Yeah, I saw that.
Let me guess, is it going up?
There was an article that came out of Stuff. That's what I found. That based it on. Yeah. I don't know if you picked it up in your Stuff, Mick, because it was released. What date was that? The 14th of May, which was Thursday.
Yeah.
It said, for us on the street, it is hard. Hamilton homeless say they are being pushed out of the CBD. And the comment that I took on board came from the chief executive, Joanne Turner, from Te Whare Korowai Tangata o Kirikiriroa, the night shelter. And she says, she told Stuff that decrease in visible rough sleepers in the city did not indicate a reduction in homelessness.
Well, it haven't solved the problem, they've just moved it.
Yeah. So she said exactly what you're saying, and it was quoted, it reflects a shift in where people are located. What we are seeing is displacement rather than resolution.
Of course, this government's been playing down the numbers anyway, hasn't it?
It refuses
to let the books be open.
Well, the skiting about, emergency housing's gone down. And if it's genuine, you go credit to it.
I'm a bit suspicious.
Well, yeah.
I'm more than a bit suspicious.
And our mayor had said the following to Stuff. McIntosh said the council's city safe officers had noticed a decrease in rough sleepers in the central city, but rejected they were pushing people away. He said CitySafe did not issue move-on orders.
So where does he think these people have gone?
Yeah, well, that's what they were saying. They've gone to probably other bits of the city.
Can I put in my little ad in there? I volunteer a little bush park in town, and we've had one camper for most of one homeless guy. We say homeless, whether it's by choice or not, but he's been there for or most of the summer going into the winter.
Yeah.
And we had we've had two others. One was there last week. He's not there this week. Mm. But they're all looking for, you know, so that the problem's still there.
Yeah.
And then the issue is, of course, then the school goes, well, kids don't go and play in the park in the bush area beside the school because
someone
there's homeless people in there, etc. We're volunteers. It's no fun, you know, and you have a lot of empathy for them, but also then you don't feel as safe and as relaxed about it, you know. And then what you're doing, you're trying to grow trees and enhance the city, and for every five trees you're getting, you see a tree being broken or cut off because it's in the way for the tent or whatever else. So there's a repercussions for it.
Yeah, it does.
And who should get the priority? You know, have lots of empathy. And one of our guys, the guy's been there a long time, he's reasonably good. But if someone lives in the same place for long enough and there's not the facilities, they have to go to the toilet somewhere. They end up making a mark, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, repercussions, yeah.
And it's sort of, how are you going to get volunteers, and shouldn't we be encouraging the kids to be with nature and play in the parks and the bush?
But you can't if you've got people you don't know.
You've got strangers in there, you know,
potential recipe for tragedy.
So, you know.
So the problem's not being solved, is it? It's just being shunted around.
Yeah, moved around.
Basically.
Yeah.
So that comes back to what we've always said about dealing with the root causes of issues, social issues.
Yeah.
It's not been dealt with it, that root cause stuff.
Yeah.
It's just been, we'll just move it there. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe, and we don't complain, maybe they have found more housing for people from the emergency houses and all that. And don't forget, quite a few of the people that are what we call homeless or whatever do have issues.
They have,
you know, so they not necessarily can live with 10 other people in a block of flats or even emergency housing.
Substance abuse issues, mental health issues, and historical abuse issues. Yeah, we know the types. Yeah.
Which is the problem, because of course when you think, well, these people are okay and they haven't done anything wrong.
No, they haven't.
But you can't tell the kids, oh, just play and just ignore them, because you don't know what their issues are.
Yeah, they could have been in prison for something that maybe.
There's no empathy or sympathy from the powers that be that could do something about it, because they've already they changed the law recently when they can make it a criminal offence to be homeless.
Yeah, they can move you on and all that.
There's also, they took it on when they could be arrested.
Yeah.
It'd be a criminal act to be homeless.
Yeah.
Because they have perceived social problems with people with all sorts of issues going on and people feeling intimidated, which I don't want to happen anyway, but it gets back to, how do we deal with this problem without time and money and resources?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it takes money, a lot of money, to be frank.
Yeah. There doesn't seem to be the political will there.
No, it's only we're more interested in rich people and how much money they can bring in and to fund more rich people.
And say, that's fine if rich people, not just rich people, if we're all paying our fair share of tax. So we have the funding and the resources to tackle homelessness and to tackle all these sort of issues around them, but when we go, oh, come in, and we just decide to put the blinkers on poverty and the blinkers on homelessness and the blinkers on drug abuse and the blinkers on everything, say, oh, no, New Zealand's lovely. And you get a fine day like this and you go out to Raglan and watch the surface, it's lovely, but we're looking, you know, that's fine.
Mm. It's blinkered, though, isn't it?
It's blinkered. It's very blinkered. Don't look down the back street. Don't look on the way there. Don't look at the poverty, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine if there's any homeless people in Raglan, they've been moved on during the course of this.
I'm not sure. When I was there a couple of weeks ago,
they must have some.
There was a guy asking for money in the street. You know, but down on his luck. But you know, all places tend to have
some form of that.
So, and it's good. It is a reminder of people that all is not equal. Not equal, in my opinion.
As you say, some people choose not to see that.
Oh, they definitely blinker themselves. They don't want to know. They don't want to know about, you know, historical land lost by Māori, etc. You know, from the colonisation, etc. And it's not that you should not know about it. You should know about it and accept that's what happened, acknowledge it, and address it and move forward, you know?
Yeah, just like the other matters, like the historical abuse and, by the state and all that.
There's lots of things. Yeah, lots of things. You shouldn't hide your history. You should just, okay, this is how, have we done enough to make amends and acknowledge it?
And what can we do better?
Yeah.
But we haven't done that. We haven't done anything better.
Well, I think we've done better in some things. In some things, the inequality has got worse.
Yeah, well, this means that we haven't done better in that front.
No, so we haven't,
And there seems to be a general lack of political will to do anything about it.
Yeah, and you get it around when they've cut back on the amount of social housing they're building. Yeah. That's one thing. Yeah, why isn't there more effort to build more social housing, or maybe even more, given the types of people who are homeless, more supported accommodation?
Yeah,
for people in like that, wet houses for people like who maybe alcohol dependent.
And that's requires intensive support financially and resources. All that stuff. And
it costs money, and they don't want to go there.
No,
as you said, they don't want to go there.
Don't want to go there.
They should go there.
But of course, the poor don't vote in enough numbers, and so they basically cater to the middle class and the upper class, you know, and they throw a few crumbs at the peasants, basically.
And that's what I'm getting from the budget plan. Yeah. Well, we haven't got enough money for a lolly scramble, but yeah. You got enough of a lolly scramble for Tauranga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had enough of a lolly scramble to pay the landlords extra money. Yeah. Which let's face it, I'm not getting at landlords in specific, but if you've got spare houses that you rent out, that's spare wealth.
Yeah.
That's not just the house you live in.
The people these days don't, that's not enough.
They want more.
They want everything they can squeeze out of the system.
Yeah.
They don't care about the...
Yeah. Speaking, I was just watching, because I'm a bit of a nature buff, I was watching this something on...
In the buff, or...?
I can do that too as well. Hang on, I'll just skip it. and I was watching, it was in Germany somewhere, and they were trying to clean up a river, and it was in the Ruhr. Is that how you pronounce it?
Ruhr.
Heavily industrialised. Heavily industrialised.
And there's pollution problems, and one of the rivers, they've got one of the main rivers is all right, but a lot of the waste went into the side river. I can't remember, it's called the Mens or something like this.
Yeah, that's right. Mens.
There were several dams that got hit by...
Yeah, but because of all the coal mines and everything, lots of coal, they couldn't actually put the sewage pipes underneath because they would keep breaking. So in the end they came up, we'll just make them on top and canals. And so they've got these canals of open sewage.
Oh, lovely.
Etc. And they're working on it.
I mean, they're still working on it.
They're still working on it. But this program was about this group that started, and it has become very big and powerful, a conservation group, to work on let's clean this up, and which they're gradually doing. They have been doing. But one of them, though, this group was the documentary was showing what they're doing. And then they got to this park, and they pulled all these big pipes out where they hadn't been working, big sewage pipes. These are where you can stand under.
Oh, right.
And they'd converted them in, the local council had converted them into shelters.
After they cleaned them up.
But they just basically had a, what do you call it?
Like a code
to open the door, so they were locked, and a code, so you were given you could go and stay in these things if you're out on your luck.
Right.
And they just had the basics, a bed and a locked door, so you were safe. You couldn't be attacked, etc., you know.
Well, that's,
if you're homeless, that's one of the biggest fears,
has
been attacked.
That's a social conscience then.
And I've seen that in South Africa as well. They've used big piping, and then they have a toilet block as well.
Yeah. Ablution showers.
That's sort of...
That's something you could do over here too.
But okay, there'd be the NIMBYism would happen, etc.
That's probably pushing right out of the city.
That's where they belong. Yeah. And it comes back to what we said about homelessness.
Yeah.
Being pushed.
And the numbers are going to keep going up.
I think the Scandinavian countries were one of the Scandinavian countries was they actually are assigned, someone who's homeless or down on their luck, they're assigned and they basically find them a house, deal with all their, get them help for their issues and complexities, etc., and follow it through. But it's expensive.
Yes.
We know that.
Time and resources and money.
Yeah. You know. And okay, Johnny can go and live in the bush for whatever, and we just ignore it. But the problem's still there.
Yeah, it hasn't gone away.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But I just saw that with the concrete pipes when you were talking about that, and I thought, you know, okay, location where to put them, but emergency, a rough sleepers type of shelter.
Yeah. It's a collective responsibility, homelessness, really.
Yeah, and to have those sort of...
And in this political climate, that's a hard one.
Yeah, and also you have to police it. Yeah. You actually have to go, right, who's in charge of these homeless shelters? Who makes sure...
Must be a manager there or something on the site.
Yeah, so the toilets are serviced not just once a day or once when they feel like it. They're serviced four times a day. You get heavy usage, you need to service things. And that's, to me, what goes back. You got heavy usage around a park, then the toilet needs to be serviced after the sports games, you know, and before.
Even our local park where the kids play, there's a toilet there, and I've had to use it occasionally. Yeah. Luckily, I didn't have to sit down.
Yeah.
Because I took one look, I thought, gee.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
It's filthy.
Yeah. And... You know,
they used to have someone, I think there's one person who goes once a day in the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. Well, it doesn't make sense.
And
it's only one toilet, one bowl. What do you call it?
Pan, usually.
Whoever decided to build the toilet right in the middle of the playground.
Yeah.
You know, it should have been a minimum of a two-pan block.
Oh, yeah.
Because then if you do have a crisis in one, then let's face it.
If something breaks and the one's out of action, you've got...
We're human beings. Someone does have a bad stomach or whatever and has an accident, etc. If you've got two things, there's still the option of another one.
Yeah. But then you've got to have the money and the resources to have someone to come down to that. And given the current climate with debts that our local councils are...
They're trimming off those sorts of jobs.
The garbage bins around by that park, they're not open, they're not empty as regularly as they used to be.
But you build
chock-a-block this
morning. You build a park for sport, which is what I'm all for. You build a park for sport and kids to play.
Yeah.
But you don't have the facility. Facilitate them, service them. Yeah, toilets and rubbish bins.
Yeah, utilities. Yeah, those.
They've told off the bins are now chock-a-block every day.
Yeah.
They do get empty. I've seen them occasionally, but not as frequently as they used to.
This is where that's where the Antenna app could be quite handy. I'll just take a photo. When is it going to be bloody well emptied?
Yeah, well, you tell us that experience you had. That's a good story.
We had an experience with Antenna. It's an app that's on that I've put on my phone and Margaret's.
It's the Hampton City Council. If you see an issue or rubbish or anything.
It's called, Antenna.
Yeah, Antenna. So what happened was last week was Red Bin Collection Day for the area I live in, and there's a bus stop at 71A Kahikatea Drive. And what people do is that they put their bins on the bay there where the bus stop is, because there's no other place to put them for easy pickup. But somebody put their glass out. It wasn't glass collection week that for that particular area.
Right.
So it was still there on Friday, this glass crate. The next day for me, which working day was Monday, went there and all the glass that was in that bin, because I kind of recognised it, was all dumped beside the bus stop. So what I did is I took a photo of it, did a report to Antenna and sent it away.
Right.
And they came up with a message that we'll follow this up.
You did get a response.
Yeah, it's almost an immediate response.
You know, automatic one initially.
Yeah.
So they followed up.
Yeah, so they basically, the glass was still there on Tuesday morning, but come Wednesday it was all gone. It was all.
So that's pretty quick.
And I think they must have picked up other rubbish that's been dumped there as well.
Well, maybe that's the way forward if the antenna's up and running. I think it was promoted last week or the week before.
Yeah, it's been there around for a while.
Sarah Thompson said she uses it quite a bit, and they're getting a lot of response. Maybe if you target problem areas, that might be a more efficient way of curbing, fly tipping or whatever.
So if you can load the Antenna application onto your phone,
that's what they say. Yeah,
and just if you see an issue like you're saying, overloaded rubbish bins, for example, mess on the park, maybe. Toilets that haven't been cleaned. I know it might sound rather gross. You're taking a photo of it.
Some of them are gross.
Yeah, but they need to see the problem.
Yeah.
If they want, and they
send a few photos of that, they might wake them.
Yeah, it might wake them too. And if it doesn't get done there, you send it to your local councillor.
They've got, it's a big city, a growing city.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Yeah, I understand, Fred.
You don't just get accidental stuff. You get deliberate, sadly. Not involved in the city and want to do it. Just what do you call it? Social misfits or have issues, etc. And who do they take it out on? The bus shelter or the rubbish bin or a tree or whatever, you know. Yeah. It's a good idea. And I say, from all accounts, I haven't used it, but a friend of mine has, and they've got back to her relatively straight away. Yeah, and said what they're going to do about it.
I did it the old-fashioned way some time ago because I don't have the app.
I don't have
the internet on my phone. Because anyway, I just rang up the appropriate department in the council and just pointed out the tree had come down, blocking the sidewalk. On another occasion, the gardens by a bus stop had overgrown, obscuring the view, so you couldn't see when. I just rang them up and said, look, there's this garden at number Cambridge Road. It's spilling over.
Yeah.
You can't see. And they either the council came and did it or they got in touch with the owner and they cleaned it all back so you could see
what's happening.
Quite a good response.
Yeah.
I think there's not enough, what would you call it, understanding of people that...
Yeah. But they rather moan about the council not doing it. And actually, why don't you just ring up the council and point it out to them that there's a problem?
Yeah, because often they don't know.
Because they're not all seeing.
No.
They have to have these things brought to their attention. Like the gutter's blocked up with leaves at the moment.
Yeah.
Mm. That'll be the next thing I'll put up the ring up. So when's the contract going to come round? Because the leaves are now...
A problem with flooding. And I think there should be far more awareness between councils and government. Like, the government does the bigger stuff and councils do the little stuff where we live, etc.
There should be more participation between government and local council and the people.
You
can't just complain about something and not and expect them to be mind readers.
No.
You just be polite and ring up. Oh, there's a problem in such and such a street. And invariably they'll come and clear
and we
it up.
Too can do our part.
Yes, yes.
If you see a bottle when you're walking on the footpath and it's whole and you look up and there's a rubbish bin and carry it to the next bin rather than wait till someone might come along and smash it.
That's the issue.
We the citizens can actually do our part.
It's not by
reporting stuff or sweeping up our leaves. We don't have to wait for the council to come along and clean the gutter outside us. We could actually do it ourselves.
You take some responsibility.
Some people just don't.
Yeah. No, they'd rather moan and then...
Well, the other day I saw someone and they were blowing the leaves all into the street.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not their tree, because it was on the berm, you know.
And they blocked the gutters and they wonder why.
They're in a flood area, but never mind.
I have us moan about a tree on the park that blows its leaves onto our section and it blocks our guttering. So I moan about that. But any leaves that I see on our lawn, I don't blow. I have got a blower and I'll blow it back out into the park. But the leaves off the tree actually make good compost.
Of course they do.
So I just collect them. Put it in the compost bin.
When I'm on my front verger, I just check because I've got a gutter not in front of me but my neighbours, so I always make sure that's open because, as I say, we're a flooddish area, full surface water. Yeah. It's not bad, but
The homelessness thing and what we were speaking about, what I do with the antenna, kind of that side of it, but you want to have some positive things for council, Fred?
Same thing, and I it's not new, but I think it's only just come out reasonably recently, and it's the Hamilton City Council, Hamilton Kirikiri Roa Resident Survey, computer's just gone down, December 2025, so it's relatively new, and they do this survey, I think they do it once a year. And you can participate in it. But what I suggest to people is before you have a moan about things or anything else, have a look at this and see because it covers income, the city's income, it covers general Hamilton, neighbourhoods, local body elections, local government, council communications, green spaces, facilities, rubbish and recycling and transport. And this survey is to get the response of how residents, and this one from last year, they had just under 1,000 people respond.
Yeah.
So it's open to the public, but it must be a good indicator of for how you call it, the managers of the city.
Well, they've got to
know what the people think.
Yeah, you know. Where things are going wrong or where they can be fixed.
Because a lot of, often the comment says, council doesn't. Well, you do actually can
it's
participate.
Very easy, it's very easy to be negative.
Yeah. And it, sometimes there's a reason to be negative.
But there's also times where it can be positive.
Yeah. So, but I suggest to people, it's fascinating because it has about, it has ages and ethnicities and how people feel about going out at night. Mm. And it's a really in-depth survey. And I've just found it.
Any comment about libraries in that survey?
Well, probably, but I haven't read it yet. And I better not say anything because my daughter's in the library. Best of libraries.
Well, we don't have to mention the library concern, but I mean, the last time I did, this is not the first time I've done this survey, though, is it?
No, they do it every year.
I can remember one time you talked about this, and some of the people responded about, why have libraries? I don't use them. So why do we need them? That sort of negative.
Not thinking of a wider picture.
Yeah, but that would be balanced by people who enjoy libraries and all the other things that the libraries that offer. Yeah.
But the council needs to be aware of that. The more participation with the public is a good thing.
Well, and I've harped on about it before. There's a big sector of Hamiltonians, and it's not asked in this question, but asked how many Hamiltonians never get to go out to their beach house or to their lake house or holidays. Yeah, so they've got to entertain themselves 7 days a week, work, live, survive, etc.
Mm.
in the city. So that's why you need these facilities because not everyone's got a beach house in Whangamata,
Libraries are not about just books. You can meet people there.
They have different community groups.
Yeah, they do
all the time for littlies, for elderly, migrant groups, elderly.
They have the Wi-Fi for those who want to do a bit of study, etc.
Yeah. I went to a grief counselling there. It was a lovely little session. So they're a community hub.
They've changed. Yeah. When I grew up as a kid, libraries were just sacrosanct. Didn't talk.
Yeah.
Now
people do talk in there.
Communities. So anything that helps. Sports is the same.
Communities require participation. In the community.
Exactly. So like we expect sports fields. And we do have, we seem to have a great sports facilities around the place.
But it comes at the cost. It could be serviced, it could be maintained, all that stuff.
But we should look at rugby park and the parks that do sport and soccer and rugby and et cetera and all the other. We should look at libraries and arts centres. Under the same light.
Yeah.
Because not everyone's a rugby fan or not everyone's a library fan. But we should, if I'm a rugby fan, I should say, I love my sport. I don't go to the library, but they like going to libraries. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be a priority over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think the people who moan about libraries because they don't use them would don't want to have public transport because they don't use it.
Yeah, they're very self-centred. Yeah. I'm being polite here.
Self-centred is being polite.
Yeah.
I could think of a few expletives.
You could call them an ex supporter.
Yeah. But it covers things like foot paths and...
All sorts of things.
It's marvellous. And it covers what I think should be in the national census far more. But they don't do not going to do censuses anymore. So I hope they keep this going because it does give them a bit of a... And, okay, it doesn't get the whole city, but... But 1,000 people still will give you a bit of a cross section of what's going on.
Captured opinions,
So, like here, I was speaking of libraries, facilities, use of facilities at least monthly. Libraries 26%, swimming pools 13%, community hubs 6%, community halls 4%. So that gives you that. User satisfaction with facilities, libraries 83%, swimming pools 69%, community hubs 58%, community halls 55%.
So they're all above.
Talking about survey, I've just remembered, I use the library quite a bit, but I've used government departments and they'll send me a message back saying, you've been in touch with blah, 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 can you take part in a 5-minute survey? It's going to be more than 5 minutes, but never mind, I participate.
Yeah.
Because they need to get some feedback, positive. And I never give them a perfect score.
Never do.
Give them a 9.
Give them a 9.
Because...
Do you have to explain why you...
Nothing is perfect.
Yeah.
But generally, I'm impressed with the staff at the libraries. They're friendly, professional, proficient, all that sort of stuff. And other government departments. Yeah. I try and give them some positive, because it's so easy to be negative and just, you know.
Well, you had a good experience with your pension, in the crisis. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, because I had, I think some of the listeners might be aware, confirm your circumstances. Once a year, they used to send you an email, and if your circumstances hadn't changed, your pension would just roll over.
Mm-hmm.
But this year round, I had to go and complete a form, 24 pages.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I don't, and then because my internet connection isn't great, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go down some winds, take a deep breath, and go.
You were a bit stressed.
I was stressed.
Yeah.
But within a space of 30 seconds, I met one of the people behind the counter, the young lady you might have met.
Yeah.
And within a space of 3 minutes, she solved the problem, and my stress level just dropped away. Yeah,
exactly.
And she couldn't understand why I was getting stressed out. I said, well, some of the questions were a bit ambiguous.
Yeah.
And you had to be careful how you answered it, because the AI might interpret it as, oh, you've lied here, when he might not have meant to.
That's
stressful.
Because you wanted to make sure you give the right answer, not because you're trying to cheat the system, but you just didn't want to avoid causing any more problems.
Exactly. And let's trace it.
Anyone's got a problem with that sort of thing with the CYC, get down to your local. I didn't even make an appointment. I just walked in.
Because they're not.
They're there to help. And this person was very pleasant, very professional and proficient.
One of the stumbling questions we've found with, and it cuts across to the old form, is the one around your disability allowance costs.
They asked me about that. Yeah.
Yes and no. And people get confused with that one.
Yeah, because it's, in my case, nothing had changed. So she read out the question. You're still getting this. Yes, I still need it. Blah, blah, blah. And the thing about disability, yes, I still need it. So, dunk, 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 dunk. I said, she sorted that in 3 minutes.
I know how to answer that question, but a number of people.
But let's face it, we're getting old.
I was aware of the ambiguity in the question, the way it was phrased. I think this could go seriously wrong.
Well, let's face it, the closer you are to the edge of the precipice financially, it's a worry. And that's what people, I had someone saying that, they just need to get a job. And I said, you know, if you're unemployed and you've got a chance of a job for a couple of weeks picking asparagus or whatever, I said, you're tempted, but then you don't want to get in trouble with wins.
Because you end up being punished.
Because you fear of getting punished, even if you're not.
Mm-hmm. But the
fear is huge.
For a lot of people, that's
it. Because they haven't got any fat in the bank.
Yes, everything's on a knife edge. And you're just coping and just needs one glitch and you're in serious trouble. Financial.
So you avoid the glitch no matter even if you turn up in 2 weeks' work.
I try and take part in some of these surveys when they get back to you. You've been in touch with blah, blah, blah. Can you rate our service? Blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah. But I never give them a permanent perfect score. I just think,
I know what you're talking about, those sort of surveys. And some of them also ask, why have you given them that score? And I said, no, thank you. I don't give an answer for that.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes the questions repeat themselves. Well, can you give the reason why you just gave that reason? I said, well, I've just typed in. If you refer to the first four questions I've answered, I think you'll find I've answered question number six.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. Can I just do a few more? Is that all right?
Go for it.
It's just rubbish and recycling. 78% satisfied with glass recycling.
Yep.
Because didn't they have a survey a while ago and they broke it down the actual monetary value for each service they provide?
Oh, you probably have. It'll be there.
It was the sewage, the water, the garbage. It broke it down per person.
And transport satisfied with footpaths was 56%, satisfied with 55% pedestrian crossing. So everything and everything. It's very detailed. And
when you stop to think of it, it's enormous. All those moving parts.
Which you take
for granted because you walk along, you don't necessarily think about the sewage when you walk.
Yeah.
But all those things are going on behind you, you know.
These sort of surveys give them, the managers, a way of how things are working.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just hear from the insulated bubble that you don't know what the people are thinking. So I encourage people to, read this one, but next year when it comes out again, comes up in your social media feed, participate. And even if you're having a moan, it's still...
part of it.
If you can be a little bit balanced, don't.
And if you do see something that's really good, do give some praise. It's nothing better. If you, I remember working in the courthouse. It was lovely when someone came and said, "Oh, thank you, young man." That was a few years ago. It was so helpful. Well, you know, okay, well, I didn't get any more pay for it.
Someone showed their appreciation.
And I went home and had an extra glass of beer to celebrate. You know, and that was nice. And I'll say to my wife.
But those sort of comments keep the system ticking over. It greases the wheel.
Yeah, a smile and a bit of praise. I always
thank the bus driver. I know he's being paid. I always say, thank you, driver.
Thanks, driver.
Have a good day. And I tap off and away I go.
Yeah.
At least it gives them a bit of positive
feedback. Because you get nasty, horrible passengers.
People tend to, if they want to have a gripe, they just stop and think, well, he's providing a service. Just say thank you. It doesn't cost.
Going back to your bus subject for a moment, is that your buses say on them that you've got to flag the driver, so that means a hand signal.
Yeah.
Some people will just sit back in the bus stop and they expect the bus to stop there.
Or they're sitting there and they don't actually want the bus.
Yeah, that's the other one.
And sometimes the bus driver sort of slow down. Does he want the bus?
Sometimes I go, no, I don't.
And then
you've got to go on.
Take off.
I think I always play to the signal.
Yeah, I always flag them. Always flag them down.
Yeah, because you just don't know.
But I just think we need to keep, as citizens, especially from, we need to keep our facilities. We need to keep supporting the buses and the libraries and the swimming pools.
If they disappear, they're never coming back.
I want to say, we all don't... Mm-hmm. In the survey, it says 10% have got more than enough money. They ask about money and have you got enough and all this. It's really detailed. And, you know, so... But they say there's another lot of people that don't get to go anywhere. And so, you know, what happens in their city is their lives. You know, and I urged councillors to remember that when they're off on their way to the beach house or the lake house or wherever, that they remember that some people don't ever get that privilege.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Craig?
I call this Stymieing Mike Smith.
Stymieing Mike Smith.
Right. Mike Smith is an activist, and he put this case in about the five big polluters that are affecting the health of the people. Yeah. Genesis was one, I think.
Fonterra
was one, and I think Contact was another one. There's two others, about five of them. The government have decided to block all that.
And they're going to change the law retrospectively.
Yeah.
Okay, what's about?
About pollution.
Their carbon footprint.
Yeah, how it's impacting on the
environment.
And people.
Yeah. Sounds like Trumpism. Yeah. It sounds like. Who's the call? Shane
Moving
Jones.
Goalposts.
Yeah.
Goldsmith.
Production is everything.
He's behind all this. So to pull the rug out.
But they're going to change the law retrospectively.
So I think he's taken to the Court of Appeal, I believe. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So
good on him, isn't
it? Because he was really concerned about the environment. Yeah.
Where did he do it? Did he do it for a complaint to government, or was it on a... How did it come
about? I think he brought a case to the court.
It's through the courts sort of thing, the environmental court or something.
It must have been something like that.
Right, okay.
But it's got to this stage where, we're going to stop him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's all about profit. The argument was, how it was highlighted, it's profits before people.
Yeah.
Which, you know... Which is the argument is, we get more production, but we also have to have quality, you know. And what's the point having lots of, you know, farms producing lots of food, which does bring income and everything else. But if you can't swim in the river at Huntly, that's a cost, isn't it? Is it something we should sustain, or should we say, how do we get the kids to swim in the river at Huntly and the farmers to do okay?
So you've got balance.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope because you get to the point where the environmental impact of those companies could impact on people. And
and a lot of the
it's going to cost money to try and rectify it.
And a lot of companies I notice is worldwide, not just picking on New Zealand, but a lot of the big companies now have environmental divisions.
Yeah, that's a con.
It certainly muddies the water.
It's all about profit, and I call it greenwashing.
Yeah,
it's to make people feel good if they buy goods and services from a particular company because it's seem to be environmentally friendly, but it's just PR.
It's like biodegradable plastic bags that don't really biodegrade unless they're in a commercial composter.
It's to make people feel comfortable buying those goods and services.
But it does muddy the waters, pardon the pun.
Of course it does.
You know, and then think, well, that Fonterra are doing a good job, you know.
Yeah.
And to be fair...
They're all making profits, but it comes at a cost, though.
Yeah.
And it's invariably the people who've got least resistance to the impact.
Yeah,
pay the price. But not we should, these greedy people.
Yeah, but we should give credit. There are cockies out there. There are farmers and others who are doing the right things and putting in extra soakage ponds and planting up their waterways and
sadly,
and
fencing they'd probably off. Be the minority, wouldn't they?
So far, but to get change, you've got to encourage change.
True.
Yeah, Country Canada features a lot of those types.
Yeah,
of
they
people.
Do. Which is could be a sell or could not be, but we should still encourage it. You know,
yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I was brought up on a farm. Great, you were too, Craig.
Yeah.
You know, a tree was there to be cut down for a fence post or firewood or something. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, they were a nuisance. Scrub was scrub. It wasn't considered, well, that could be a young native forest one day.
Yeah, you know? But the classic one was effluent.
Yeah.
Hose down the cow shed and it goes straight into the local creek.
Yeah, and that was just how it was. Or might have gone to a little bit of a small...
overflowed
and then went into the creek. Yeah.
Heavy rain overflowed into the creek.
Yeah. And we've got to remember, those were the days where cows were, you might have 100 cows or 80 cows. Now you've got herds that are 1,000 and more cows.
Yeah, they produce a lot more.
Go?
Yeah.
And there are controls around
them. Proverbial, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But there are more controls around it about discharge and all that. But we still have to...
It doesn't bode well because this government doesn't fill me with any confidence about reinforcing those safeguards. They're trying to undermine, because it's all about profit, first of all, rather than the environment.
Yeah, their position on carbon emissions, don't you?
Yeah.
And I go harp on about you know, it's good to have your forests and all that, but actually one of the biggest things for carbon, absorbing carbon and pollution, is actually swamps. And, of course, because swamps are flat, they were the ones drained, and it's actually swamps that do the filtration, absorb carbon and everything else. I would like to, and I'm dreaming here, but it'd be great if we started going, let's purchase back some of the real flat lands that are swampy and flooded, etc. And let them rewild.
You'd
have to pay the cocky for them, but I don't think...
That definitely would not happen under the current climate.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens sometimes by a private individual.
Individual. Not a nationwide response.
But it's happening in the UK and America more. So I think that whole understanding will grow.
Yeah,
I've been optimistic.
Well, it needs to.
It does.
It does, yeah.
What else you got there, Craig?
Ructions in the Te Pāti Māori.
Yeah. Oh, someone's going to left and form an independent.
Yeah, Kawakingi.
Yeah.
Is she forming a party or going to be independent?
I think she's forming a new party. I think, what's his name? What's the other one? The one for Te Tai Tonga. He'd become independent.
Down, I do know his name.
Yeah.
Down by...
South Island, yeah.
So this person's going to put herself forward and establish a party.
Yeah, Kapakingi, yeah. I think she's walked away from Te Pāti Māori.
Yeah. It doesn't help. You know, it's sad because the racists out there, which there are many, sadly, I've just had...
They'd be pointing the fingers, let's see.
They bloody Maoris,
can't be trusted, they're a squabble.
Stealing from us. And I pointed out to this gentleman, I said, I think there's plenty of white Europeans that have also had their hands in the lolly jar over the years.
Yeah.
But now they love the racism comes out, pretty quick.
And then we heard that the comment made by Shane Jones about Wounded Hen. Did you hear that comment?
No.
It got him kicked out of the house. So,
really?
Yeah. I think he was having a dig at Debbie Nauriapaka.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what he was having a dig at. But connected to that was Honi Haruera.
Yeah.
All right.
What's Honi up to?
They may be looking at him as a possible TPM candidate for
Te Tai
Tauranga.
Okay.
Yeah. But he he also said, if there's anybody better than me, I'll just support that person.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's got a fair age now, honey. He must be my age, if not older. How old would he be?
70, it's either, close to it, though.
Yeah.
And he was, and they were talking about, he's got a, his life is quite busy looking after Mokopuna, but he's also got a daughter that's not well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a believer in succession. Us oldies, let the next generation in the door.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think that's what it's thinking.
Winston Peters, if you're listening, let the next generation.
Kind of his thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of maybe skip the Shane Jones generation and go a bit further down.
You're quite right, because it doesn't matter so much to us. We're not going to be around for them. But the next generation, they're going to inherit one hell of a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the trouble. If you just look, so you see America.
They need to have some input.
You see all these old people controlling America.
Yeah.
And they've got this big, huge gap. You know, if communism's still bad. You can't, socialism and all that, they're still caught up in the Cold War days of 1950s.
Reds and the bad stuff,
So you do need to think, okay, encourage. And us oldies can encourage people and support them if you've got it, et cetera. But, there are younger people a chance, It's their world. It's their world that they're in, and they have still got more time in it than us.
I don't know if you saw that clip on our reserve. It was a few weeks ago. They were talking to young people, UK, New Zealand, Canada, Australia, and talking about this very thing, saying that decisions are being made by people who aren't going to be around to face the impact. We are, their generation, are going to face the impact of these decisions made today.
Unless you're in China.
Unless
And then Chinese go, what's our 50-year plan? Whereas we go, what's our next election plan? Off it goes.
Yeah.
And on that note, on elections, I'd encourage people to check out the election.org.nz site.
Okay.
Because I picked the next part is about broadcasting allocations for political parties for this coming election. And the total allocation, and this includes GST, is $4.145 million for parties and non-registered.
This is public funding of
money,
physical funding.
What, to go on to Radio New Zealand or
political broadcasting?
Broadcasting, so okay. Yeah. National are allocated $1.079 million.
Yeah.
So that's more than a quarter of the allocated total.
Money, yeah.
Because it's based on the percentage of
MPs.
That's half, is it?
No, it's not.
So where does Labour come down in the others?
They're just under a million, I think. I didn't take their numbers. Because I saw, looking at Nationals' numbers, they're taking more than a quarter of that money.
Yeah.
How much do they get? 1.7?
1.07.
1.07, yeah, so it's a quarter.
Yeah.
Should this allocation be offset by political donations, over a three-year period?
Because didn't we say last week the Nat's got $8 million or something?
Yeah, well, I got that one too.
In donations, so... Yeah.
Three and a bit years and $50 million plus of political donations visualised, and that came off from the spin-off site.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah,
by a person called Alice Neville, who did some work. What I couldn't capture in this copy was the comments made by people, and one that took my eye was what I responded to an email. I think it's just one of those spurious emails you get from Labor about. These donations making a mockery of democracy, and that's what I told, how I responded. I'm not going to donate any money to any bloody political party, but I think, if you're getting bloody donations of this amount, is your vote really worth it? So making a mockery of, because people who make huge amounts of donations have vested interests.
They're not given $100,000.
And they hedge their bets.
But going back to the broadcasting allocation, which I probably think was probably one of those bits of the Electoral Act. And I think the Electoral Act is in serious need of an overhaul. I reckon so. It's 1993. Right. I remember in the lead up to the 2008 election, which National won, unfortunately, there was moaning from National about Electoral Act reform, particularly around donations.
Wonder why. Donations should be transparent.
Yeah,
and they've cleaned up some of it, but still a lot to go.
My personal opinion is that if you get a huge amount of donations, that should offset your allocation from the broadcasting part of it.
Yeah. So they shouldn't be getting public funding as a top-up.
Yeah, basically, that's what I reckon. It's a bit like if you have been working all your life, you get ill, you're medically redundant, but you're losing money quickly, so you apply for work and income. Sorry, you according to all your earnings and that, you won't be eligible for benefit for about a year.
Mm.
It's the same principle.
Mm.
Yeah. I reckon that they shouldn't get any money. And I think that there should be a cap on what your donation is, and if you're above that cap, you don't get that allocation. Yeah. Simple as that. Yeah.
It's certainly, if you look at America, the mess America is in
money.
With money.
Yeah.
And you see it in all political areas, that money, you know, as I say, what did we say? Nat's got $8 million last year, and the Labor got...
overall.
$1 million or something?
Just over
2 million. That gives a lot more ads. That gives a lot more power, you know?
Of course.
So why would they be given a broadcasting allocation if they get all that?
Well, if they want to... Yeah, exactly. To me, the idea would be for little parties to get a voice.
Yeah.
If they get the numbers to have a bit of a voice, then, they need some airtime, et cetera, you know?
Yeah. Nothing is more highlights it clearly than a graph which shows... national, this is total donations, and we talked about this last week, Mick. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
Receiving 2025, 6.2 million for national, 2.4 for ACT, 2.403 for Labor, so they're almost on a par. Greens, 1.8, New Zealand First, 1.3, Opportunity, 179,000, Te Pāti Māori, 141,000.
Yeah.
So there should be a cut off, there should be. The broadcasting allocation should be linked to this as an offset.
Yeah, it's certainly an argument
Yeah. But interesting on the allocation list, and this would be of interest to particularly you, Fred, is that there are allocated amounts of money for non-registered groups. Yeah. And one of those groups that I took an eye to was Free Palestine as a non-registered entity.
Well, and I don't know much about it, and I'll try and find it for next week. For any group, forget Free Palestine, but any group, if you can get 500 people to register as a member as a political party, you get some rights to allocation of time.
For broadcasting,
Broadcasting, so, yeah, interesting one. I'll try and find a bit more about the details of it for next week.
That'd be good, because I don't donate to any political party. Because I don't trust them.
I don't donate. I have donated money to the Greens, to be fair, but I tend to give anonymously if anything. If there's a sausage sizzle, you know, for something called something going on, I'll be reasonably generous for my sausage, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how does people say, oh, you know, the little people are small, but one person who's well off gives $100,000. If that's how many people gives $5 for a sausage, even.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. And that $100,000 isn't going to change them going to the beach house or eating crayfish on their overseas trips or accumulating another piece of property, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, interesting, that one.
So, if you're interested in that that sort of thing, just go to the election.org.nz.
Yeah, there's a lot of good sites out there that we often don't know about or don't think about it.
Yeah, I actually went to the electoral commission site because I don't know if you remember last year the woman up in Northland who thought she was registered to vote and turned back transpired that she'd been taken off the register. So I went online to just check my details.
Did
not accept my details. I haven't died. I haven't changed my address. And I eventually got through to someone. Apparently, when I put my address down, I put down the street and the suburb in the same block, same little... The AI wanted it to be separate. But anyway, the good news was, yes, I'm registered for this. That's why I wanted to make sure I was registered to vote for this in the members' elections. So I advise people just to have a quick check, because you can go on the site and check your details.
Yeah.
And make sure you're eligible to vote.
So, doing things online, I completed the New Zealand Super application this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
How did you get on?
Very well, actually. It was quite easy. It was easier when we did it first time.
Did you find the staff helpful?
No, I did it online.
Oh, yeah. Oh right.
Online. So
okay, but somewhere along the line, they'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And they'll confirm your details.
Yeah.
Well, I found them really, really helpful.
So I think it's a gentleman with a name like that,
yeah.
Like Pele. So, he gave me this response email and said, I just need to provide this and this.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I go back to the election thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it asks questions about your identity.
Mm.
And who do you are you? Are you European? Are you Maori? And it caused a bit of a think in one's mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I put myself down as I identify as a Maori because I'm on the electoral roll, Hauraki Waikato, or Waikato Hauraki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Same thing. I could put myself down, and actually I'm having this dilemma with myself now because I've got my option to go on the Māori roll paper at home. But I say I consider myself, if you look at my heritage, I'm basically of European stock, etc. But I have a link to the Māori world. I can fuck a puppet to the Māori world. And I often think the question, it sort of forces you, have you ever got to be a Māori or or European? Why can't we have one of mixed race, mixed ethnicity
Because that would be more truthful.
I guess you could, on the bottom of the list, when you go through different nationalities,
other.
And some do
you could put in mixed heritage.
Yeah, because I say I don't want to...
You don't want all the other...
I'm chuffed that I have a link to the Māori world.
But you don't want to be pigeonholed.
I consider myself, I'm just Freddie Hayward that happens to live in a country called New Zealand. I'm more interested in my humanity tanga, having to take... Choose, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your compassion tanga is not... Part of that,
So it always makes me. I think. Well, I just want to say that I'm a mixed heritage.
I've completed other forms like that, and you're thinking, look, they want to know your gender, and you want to know your ethnicity, or you. I guess it must be really hard trying to design a site that encompasses all the variables.
I'd agree.
It'd be a nightmare trying to put it all together.
It does. But I think because of Māori are a treaty participant, indigenous.
I think the other would be the escape clause.
Yeah.
If they allowed you to put in the other mixed heritage.
I'm different to you in that respect, Freddie, because my iwi didn't sign the treaty. Have you got anything there, Mick, that could cover a minute?
The PM, this is in Wednesday's time, PM rubbishes OECD warning about the LNG plant. He's promoting this LNG site. He's poo-pooed the OECD's report.
But we can take that up
next week.
I will do it up next week. Okay. We're out of here. You can catch us on our podcast, or you can go to www.freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.